Can we turn back now to the reading we had in John's Gospel, John chapter 20, and we read a little bit there about just the discovery the disciples made that Jesus, who had died on the cross, has risen again, he is alive. And John tells us why he's written his Gospel, and I want to read the words in verse 31 of John chapter 20. He's written the Gospel about Jesus. He says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John's written this Gospel so that you and I can have life. Life. What's the best that you can imagine in life? What do you imagine yourself doing if you're maybe sitting back and saying, this is the life? What are you doing? This is the life. Are you on a beach somewhere perhaps? Are you out fishing? Are you living in a palace? Are you rolling in money? Maybe you're more modest in your expectation. Maybe you just want to be able to eat as much chocolate as you want without getting fat or something. That's the life. What is the very best that we can hope for in life? What is life? And what is this life that God's offering us in Jesus? What is this life? What does Jesus offer to us? Does he offer us anything at all that we can't get somewhere else? Does say in verse 31 that Jesus is offering us life, life in his name. But don't we already have that? I mean, we're alive, we're breathing, our hearts are beating. Isn't that life? Well, it's obviously not the life that Jesus is offering, because it's something in addition to that. Well then, is he offering us luxury? Is he offering us indulgence? Is he offering us as much of anything that we'll ever need and more? Well, he's not offering us that we can just get on and live without him. He's not offering us that we can just live the way we please and forget about him, because this is life in Jesus. So it's not just getting on with life without Jesus. This life comes, as verse 31 says, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So what is this life? Is it maybe being religious? Is it maybe going to church? Well, anyone can go to church. Anyone can go to church even if they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Anyone can be religious even if they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. We can do religion without it meaning anything to us. So it's not just religion that Jesus is offering. The life that Jesus is offering, it takes us above just being alive or just having good circumstances in our lives or even above religion. What is the life that Jesus offers? And let me just put it to you simply like this. The life that Jesus offers is knowing the voice and the touch and the love of God. It's knowing the voice and the touch and the love of God. Way back in history, we read about the 13th century German king, Frederick II. He was a thinking man, although he didn't think too much. He decided to conduct an experiment. See, he was interested to work out what language children would grow up speaking if no one spoke to them when they were young. Okay? So his idea was that if you just looked after a baby, but never spoke to it. As it grew up, just looked after it, provided for all its needs, but never spoke to it. That it would grow up speaking German. That was his belief. Yeah, like I said, he was a thinking man, but he wasn't that clever a man. So he decided to conduct this experiment, and being the king, he had the power to arrange the experiment. So he got some nurses, and he took some babies from some mothers, just immediately at birth, and the nurses were instructed to look after the babies, provide for their needs completely. So make sure they were warm, make sure they were comfortable, make sure they were well fed, make sure they had absolutely everything that they needed. But the nurses were not allowed to speak on any account to the babies. Don't speak to them. And they were also, another thing he said was, don't touch them. Or only absolutely at the minimum. Don't hug them, don't hold them close, just keep them at a distance. Don't want any contact with them really, apart from what's necessary to keep them alive, and we'll see what language they grow up speaking. That was his idea. What happened? Well, the historian that records this tells us, first of all, surprise, surprise, they didn't speak. They didn't grow up speaking anything. But also, they didn't really grow up. They didn't develop. Yes, they were fed, they were warm, but they weren't healthy. They were sickly. And according to some readings of this historian, these babies actually died. Without the touch of others, without the love of others, we become sickly. We fail to develop. Medically, we suffer from what's called failure to thrive. Because we need connection as people. We need to be close. We need to be intimate with others in order to really do well and to be healthy. We remember back in the early 90s when the world was exposed to the horror of the Romanian orphanages. And we saw hundreds of thousands of children who had been brought up in these orphanages, and they hadn't had any personal contact with people except the absolute minimum. No kind of skin to skin contact, no eye contact. Very little speaking was going on around them. Very little even being taken out of their cots. And they grew up profoundly disturbed, profoundly sick and unhealthy. It was tragic, it was horrible. What happens if we grow up and if we grow old without hearing the voice and knowing the touch and the love of God in our lives? We may have other kinds of love. We may have human love. We may have human voices and human touch. But what happens if we grow up without the love and the touch and the voice of God in our lives? What if there is another kind of life that we can only have if we grow under God's care? Something that's completely beyond the power of human care to give. That's the kind of life that John is speaking about. That's the kind of life that we can only have in Jesus Christ. And Graham and Karen have recognized this in the vows they have taken. They love and they cherish their little boy Willie, and they're giving him all that they can to help him develop healthily and emotionally. But they want him to have more than the life that they can give him. They want him to have the life that only the Good Shepherd can give him. They want him to know the loving touch, the voice of Jesus in his life, so that he can thrive on another level, the level of living in God's presence, of knowing God's life. And that's wonderful. What about all of us, though? Do we want this for ourselves and for our children? Do we want to know, and do we want them to know, the voice and the touch and the embrace of God in our lives and in their lives? Those orphanage children that I spoke about were deprived. I wonder, did they even know that a better life was possible than the one they had? What about ourselves? We can be deprived of the love and the touch of God. And if we live with it, without it every day, we can live without it so long that we don't even realize that it's something we could have. And we don't maybe realize that so many of our problems in our lives stem from not knowing God's forgiveness and his love and his touch. in our lives. And maybe we sense that. And sometimes people wake up to this in their lives and they sense there must be more. It's not just about kind of having a good time and getting possessions. There must be more. And people wake up to this and they start looking for the more. They start looking for a better life, a deeper life, a more meaningful, personal, connected life. They want to connect with God. But what they often do, if they're just searching themselves, is they make the mistake of trying to find that life in themselves or in the things they do. And human beings have been amazing at inventing religions, for example, to supply this need. People all over the world invent religions. Even today, they're still inventing religions. And it's just that sense that we need more than just to be able to breathe and to be able to walk about and to be able to kind of know other people and to get possessions. We need more than that. We need the love and the voice and the touch of God. But people invent religions to try and get it for themselves. And they even use Christianity in that way. They just use Christianity as a set of rituals, as something you can come and do just when you feel you better get in touch with your spiritual side. But you don't get life through the things that you do. This life, it comes from God. It comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus said in this gospel in chapter 14, words we often read at occasions, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to God the Father except through me," he said. If we want the life of knowing the voice and the touch and the love of God, then Jesus has got to give it to us. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And this is a different kind of life. It's not the kind of life that depends just on our bodies being alive. It's a kind of life that can exist even when our bodies aren't alive, even when we die. It's a life with God. It's a relationship with God that never dies. Because God's love and God's touch can remain with us even when we die. You know, if we know that, then we won't spend our lives desperately trying to hold on to our biological life, desperately trying to keep ourselves, our bodies alive. We've got much more than that. Jesus, again, in John's Gospel, chapter 11, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. He said, "Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies." See, that's another kind of life. It's a life that goes on even when we die. When the body dies, we continue. Jesus says that life continues. And so he said then, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." He's talking about now this life of being with God, of knowing God. It doesn't depend on a body. It's something that can go on. And then he said, "Do we believe this?" So today, we can choose to come to God and tell him in prayer if we have been living our lives without him. If we have been living our lives just going after stuff that we can't take with us, just going after things that are just about our present physical lives, and we've neglected the life that he can give us. We've neglected his voice and his touch and his love and embrace. We can tell him this and we can ask him for forgiveness. We need his forgiveness. We can thank him that he has the ability to forgive us and the desire to forgive us when we ask for it through Jesus Christ. And if we do this, he will come into our lives. Jesus said it's like being born again. Something that can happen to us at any age, just like another life begins in our lives. A new life with God as our Father and with Jesus as the Good Shepherd of our lives. We hear God's voice. We know his love. We know his touch in our lives. And no longer do we fail to thrive in spiritual terms. It is, of course, completely possible to know nothing about this life and to think there is no such thing as this life that John's speaking about here. Jesus' disciples weren't like that. These disciples, these followers of Jesus, they knew better, because they had followed Jesus and they had experienced the love and the touch and the voice of God through Jesus in an incredible way. Because all the time they were with Jesus, Jesus was speaking to their hearts. Jesus was doing amazing things in their lives and doing amazing miracles. And then Jesus was crucified. And they did think it was all over. They actually thought they'd made a great mistake, that something was terrible had happened and it had all gone wrong. And what changed them thinking that it was all over was that Jesus did rise from the dead. And this is where the skeptic kicks in. It kicked in with the disciples and it kicks in with Thomas. You know, that doesn't happen. People don't rise from the dead. Thomas didn't think it was possible. But the other disciples were saying, well, we didn't think it was possible either, but he's alive. You bet he is. We've seen him. We've been with him. And Thomas, as we read there in verse 25, he says, absolutely no way. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Now maybe we can identify with Thomas there. We know that kind of skepticism, but Jesus is risen from the dead. He is risen in the power of an endless life. And he steps into that locked room where Thomas is, and he says to Thomas, doubting Thomas, skeptical Thomas, says, it's me. Look at the marks of the nails in my hands. Look at where the spear penetrated my side. It's me. Touch me. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. Touch me. And Thomas is so overwhelmed by the sudden rush of realization, he's alive, that he says, my Lord and my God. This life continues. The life of Jesus, the risen Savior, continues. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. This life of Jesus, because he then ascended. He left this world. He ascended to be with God the Father. And from there he sent to this world his presence, his Holy Spirit, into this world, so that we too can experience his life in our lives. And ever since Jesus rose, ever since he ascended and sent his Spirit, people have been meeting with God and knowing his love and his touch, his grace and his embrace in their lives, finding life, flourishing in God's life, flourishing under his care. And I'm telling you this because this is good news for you. As verse 31 we just read there says, John says, I've written this so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is for you. And it's real. It's as real as the risen Jesus. There is a life that is more than just your heart beating, more than just eating, working, and sleeping, and earning money and spending money. There's a life that lasts forever. And that life is in Jesus Christ. And it's possible for you to know it. And if you sense this morning that you are a bit like those babies that Frederick II tried to experiment with, they're not thriving because they don't know a loving voice, a loving touch, a loving embrace. If you sense that that's the way it is with you and God, that you don't know his voice and his touch and his love, then you can come to God in prayer and ask for him to come into your life through Jesus, the risen Lord and Savior, and give you this life that you can share in it too.